Thanks for coming to this press conference. Many months ago, we learned of alarming circumstances in the Northern electorate, which would inevitably lead to a by-election. This information was known to a number of others, and at a much earlier date, even well before the 2014 September 20 election. As it emerges, there is to be a by-election in Northern on the 28th of March. Since this has become public knowledge, we have received many requests from a wide number of people right across the political spectrum for us to stand in this by-election. The economy and communities of Northam are well known to me. I was born there, worked on family farms there, was educated there, was chosen to represent sports teams there, as well as having an interest and a home in the electorate all of my life. Standing in a by-election is not an easy decision to make, but I have had a long-held concern for Northam's forgotten people and its overlooked economies. A study of all facets of the electorate suggests that it's been marginalised and Cinderella-ised, along with many other provinces in New Zealand. Regional development is stagnating there. Now, none of this is the fault of Northlanders, but in what has been aptly described by many economists as New Zealand's two-tier economy, Northam has been relegated to the bottom of the second tier. This is not how Northam used to be, where it was once one of the jewels in this country. In many ways, more than one, Northam should be the Florida of New Zealand. That's why, having consulted with my colleagues in party, as well as many in the Northern electorate, we have decided to respond to their call and put it all on the line for Northam. We'll be asking Northerners to put Northam first, so that Wellington gets the message loud and clear and begins paying real attention to their serious needs. We stand for our country's flag, its values, and for a united country where all benefit in economic progress and where the interests of our people are paramount and our first priority. Northam needs a real voice that's able to hit the ground running and ensure that for the coming years, no one will ignore what Northam thinks and wants. Victory here won't change the government, but it will sure change the way they think. We start as the underdog, but this is a chance in a lifetime for the Northern people, and we've got every confidence that they will answer the call. The campaign starts this day. Any questions?
Is it you that's coming?
Most certainly it is. Take a wild guess.
Have you done some polling on this, on your chances?
No.
Do you think you can win?
Yes.
What makes you so sure?
Well, it's going to be hard. We've got to make a lot of sacrifices. A lot of people will make sacrifices. It won't be easy. We start as a underdog. We're confident from our communications thus far that there is a huge surge for change.
So will you be spending most of your time up north of them rather than here in Parliament over the next?
Most certainly. Fortunately, Parliament's not sitting next week.
Where are you getting the money to run this campaign?
It'll come.
You haven't
got
it
yet? The call's going out as I speak. And if that's an offer, we're grateful for you.
How much do you need?
Well, it'll cost $52,000.
So you're confident...
But don't forget, this is a by-election that should not be happening. It's going to cost the taxpayer $1 million. But it's happening, so we're going to make the sacrifice.
You're confident you can get $52,000?
Very confident that we can get this money because people are making the offer now.
How much are they offering?
On the expectation that we'll stand.
How much are they offering?
Well, I mean, those details aren't for the campaign finances to look after.
You say that it's the bottom of the second tier, so is National run it out?
It's forgotten it for years. Have a look. The roads of national significance goes to Mr. Key's holiday home. It doesn't go to Northland. There's barely a metre of new road. It's been repaired and things like that. But it's stagnating with neglect. And they want to give a clear message to Wellington that they won't put up with this anymore.
Have you talked to the Labour Party about either pulling aside or downplaying their efforts there?
We don't do those sorts of arrangements, as you well know. It's the party's formation.
So what sort of promises will you be making?
Well, first of all, I'll make this promise, that they'll have a voice loud and clear in this Parliament, that their concerns, their issues in health and education, above all in the primary production in the small towns' demise, will be readdressed with sound policies. We are going to take it to the government, and this will be a single message that they can't go on ignoring provincial or regional New Zealand like they do.
Should you win, will you make arrangements to ensure that you get another MP by resigning? as a listing?
Look, we're not going to go into that sort of machinations. We're going to give every focus, 24/7, to ensure that the campaign is as hard as we can organise it, as best we can.
I'll put it another way. If you win, do you envisage New Zealand First having another MP result?
I can honestly tell you we have not thought of that. Our only thought has been to examine the arising circumstance of Northam, to answer countless emails and phone calls asking us to stand, and we're going to respond.
Got any key messages for Māori voters, I think?
Most certainly. If you ain't on the Māori roll, get on this one real fast, before election eve, and get out and vote and have a say. If you want to change the way your provinces have been, your province and your people have been neglected, this is a real chance. I'm not asking to back someone with L plates off. We've got the experience, we've got the energy, and we've got the knowledge of the North. And so we're looking forward to this campaign, and I seriously believe a lot of Māori people are too.
That could be the key to your success, couldn't it? Because there's a very large number of people in Northland on the Māori roll. Now, if they went on the general roll, that would, obviously, what could advantage you?
The majority of Māori in the North are on the general roll or not on the roll at all. And we seek to address that.
Could Māori on the general on the Māori roll now switch to the general roll in time for the by-election under the rules?
No.
You think you've got a good rapport, though, amongst Māori up in the North?
Well, very shortly, you will see a number of Māori leaders come out and endorse this campaign. Make sure you put it on your program.
Like who?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. You'll see it before a good time. But we are organised. I promise you that.
This has been a national seat for a long time. What makes
you think? 1969.
Exactly. What makes you think you can pull it off?
Because it's unique circumstance. They've been neglected and ignored, just shuffled aside on the basis of one day. Improvement will come to you, and they've got a chance, as they had in 1966, not to change the government, but to send a profound message, and they did it also in the 1930s, so it's not unique for this part of the country, and I start with the good fortune of them knowing me.
Winning wouldn't change the government necessarily, but it would change the dynamics, wouldn't it? They would need United Future and ACT for the two Māori Party MPs.
It won't change the government, but I think you grasp this better than anybody else. It'll change the way they think now, and we need that change. When you see, health clinics closing down, schools in the trouble they are, when you see shop after shop in provincial town up there closed, it just screams neglect. And they've got a chance to send a clear message.
How do you rate your chances out of 100 to win?
Look, I'm not about to go on a gambling spree here. We know how difficult it's going to be, but we're up to it. We're match fit. That's what we've got going for us.
Who's we?
Me. My team. The enthusiasm of the party.
Do you think that you have a better chance than 50% though to win?
We start as the underdog, and we're not underestimating the difficulty to win this seat, but we do believe that enough people will respond for us to do that.
So why is it taking you so long to decide? I mean, you were indicating this on Waitangi Day that you were considering it.
Well, we had to do a lot of work. It seems a lot of research work. Take soundings, find out whether there was the enthusiasm, whether there was the drive to change. And that also means that we had to prepare material for the campaign so we get the ground running.
What were your reservations?
No reservations, but we had to ensure that there was enough enthusiasm and commitment in the electorate for this to happen. Just standing is not good enough. We've got to get a message to Wellington.
What's your message to the voters of the other non-national parties? Do they come in behind you?
Well, we live in a free democracy. People can type a vote the way they like. But if they want to change, then there's only one way to get it. A vote for Winston Peters.
How do you rate your opponents?
I don't know who they are, because they must be chosen yet. They're chosen tomorrow.
I think Nationals picked its...
No, Labour's picked theirs. Greens aren't running. The Māori Party has come out and endorsed us.
What impact do you think the resignation of Mike Sable will have on the National vote?
Well, that's what National Party to explain, because they knew well before the election. Northern is a typically provincial province where information like this gets out real fast. There's no way they didn't know. It's just incredulous to think that the National Party didn't know that they were dealing with a circumstance which would not lead to a by-election, that they needed to change their candidate.
How early did you know?
Well, there's a journalist, no, not here, but some journalist called me about late October last year. They asked me, did I know? And I said, yes. They said, what does it mean? And I said, it means a by-election. Nothing was after the event.
So it was late October, though. It was after the election and after his selection as the chair of the Law and Order Committee.
No, it was in October. I think it was before.
After the election.
That because the Parliament hadn't been confirmed. The 14 days wasn't up. But this was known to us. I can't mention much else about it, but I tell you the truth, I was absolutely shocked that they would think they could get away with it.
How much do you think your experience will help you get through this?
Well, experience is everything. That's why when you get the World Cup, you get experience, guys. You don't experiment with novices. You get the ones that have been through the campaign, got the experience, know what they're doing, and can deliver on what they say. And whatever you think about Winston Peters, the idea that I won't deliver on what I say is not one of them.
You're 70 in April. Some would say you're getting a bit long in the teeth to be throwing your hat back.
First of all, I've got all my teeth. Auburn. And it's a state of mind. And let me tell you this. I campaigned harder in Northam for the last election than any other leader, or all of them put together. Some of you know that. Taitai, Kerikeri, Dargaville, all over the place. And we didn't even have a candidate. So I'm not going to them. There's an opportunity to be going to them because I'm committed to them all. I went through the Dargaville courthouse when they closed it for that protest. Nobody else was there.
How'd you do
it? I went to Kaihu when they were going to close the school there. Right? No one else was there. So I went to Pibiwai when that dusty road needed to be repaired twice in the last 2 years. No other entity was there. So I think I can point out my commitment.
How'd you do the party vote there?
We did very, very well.
What would you get?
We got 14%. Almost 5,000. If you do the numbers, you can see how close this election will be. Thank you very much. I want you to go away and bring around it to know there's going to be a real campaign on now.